Matthew chapter 22. We're going to be learning from a story Jesus told. This is not necessarily a true story. I mean, this is a parable. All right, it could have happened, but Jesus tells it to help us understand spiritual truth. And so we are going to read through here. We'll be looking a little closer at this text in the message this morning. And so beginning with verse number one, we will begin. All right, the Bible says, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Verse 4, Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them what you're bidden. Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. Verse 5, But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them." Wow. Verse 7, But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Verse 8. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together as many as they found, both good and bad, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to his servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Ooh, for many are called, but few are chosen. This is a parable. This is a plausible earthly situation. But you can see Jesus gives some specific emphasis, which, like this individual that doesn't have a wedding garment, for him to be taken out, hand and foot bound, and cast into outer darkness, that sounds pretty severe. You know, you wouldn't exactly do that. But Jesus is telling this story, relaying this earthly type of parable to help us understand some spiritual truths. And so we're going to look at this here today. The Point of Doctrine series that we are on, we've been looking at the sovereignty of God and the free will of man. And this morning, we are going to be looking at part one of the biblical doctrine of election. The biblical doctrine of election. And this story really shares a lot of light on that topic. So we're going to be looking at that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these words of Jesus in this parable which he told. Help us to understand what he meant, what he wanted to communicate. Help us to apply those truths and to understand them. Lord, we thank you for this. I pray you do a work in each of our hearts here today. In Jesus' name, amen. The biblical doctrine of election. First of all, I would like to start off with a definition. The definition of election, or elect, means to choose, to select, to choose out, one chosen, or ones chosen, or set apart, selected. The best of its kind, choice meats, for example, select grade. All right, so you have this term, elect, election. You notice here in verse 14, of which we read, at the conclusion of Jesus' parable, this seems to be the emphasis of why he told this story, why he told this parable. He says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." Can I put that in just a little different words? The word called, or bidden, as it's used here in the story as well, those who were bidden, it's an invitation. Those who are invited, those who are called, it says there's many called, verse 14, many are called. So many are invited, but few are chosen. If we substituted some of these other words, few are elect, few are selected, that would be appropriate. And so many are invited, few are selected. Jesus emphasized in his story, he emphasized someone who does show up at this wedding, but they don't have the proper wedding garment on. And apparently the king, who's hosting this wedding for his son, is pretty worked up about it, right? More than is normal for just a plain old, you know, king's wedding, right? This guest wasn't just asked to leave. This guest was bound hand and foot, and it describes what is really similar to hell. He's thrown into outer darkness, where it says there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I mean, that obviously Jesus is emphasizing something, and we are going to look at this. So, we've seen a definition. The word elect or election is not a complicated word. It's interchangeable with choose or chosen. These are used interchangeably. In other words, the same Greek word in the New Testament is used for both. It's sometimes translated chosen or choose or elect or election. These are interchangeable words. And so we are going to look at that. In fact, just to help you understand, in verse 14 here of our story, the conclusion Jesus comes to, the word here translated as chosen is used 16 other times in the Bible where it's translated as elect. So the exact same word. And it's used in both. So very interchangeable. And that is good to understand and note as we approach this topic. All right, so I would like to run down quickly four main aspects of how this term is used. All right, so elect refers to at least four different persons or groups. I won't be able to take a lot of time on this. This is kind of an introductory type of message, so we will by no means be able to go to a lot of passages that would talk about this, but we'll touch on a few. So first of all, let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, that's way in the back of the Bible, almost by the book of Revelation. Well, it is by the book of Revelation, just back a few pages, literally. 1 Peter, chapter number 2. I encourage you to turn there if you're able. We're going to look at verses 4 and verse 6 of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 4. The Bible says, "To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God," there's our word, "chosen of God and precious." Now this is talking about Jesus. And it's talking about Jesus, how he is the cornerstone. You see, in a building, a cornerstone would be laid. And from that cornerstone, every other part of the building would be squared off of, right? We have some builders here, and they know how important it is to square a building, right? You have to have things square for things to work out properly. Very important. Otherwise, the building process gets harder and harder as you try to finish. And so having a square structure from the ground up. Well, here it's referring to Jesus as the cornerstone. I'm going to read verse 6 as well. Verse 6, it says, "Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect." There's our word. In other words, chosen, very select, chosen, precious, "and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded," or shall not be ashamed or disappointed. All right? So we see the word elect being used to refer to Jesus as the Messiah. You can notice there in our bullet our bullet point. It's used this way. All right, that's not too complicated. The Messiah, the Lord Jesus, is the chosen of God, right? This is God's plan. This wasn't plan B, this is plan A. He is the select, choice servant of God, the Messiah. Very clear, very clear. Carefully chosen out and preferred by God. Incidentally, going on to the second aspect of how this is used, it's used to refer to the angels. And maybe for time's sake, I won't turn here. But the angels are called the elect angels. Paul, in the book of Timothy, is setting up a scenario where he says, in the presence of God the Father, in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the presence of the elect angels, I am charging you, I am admonishing you, right? And so he's acknowledging the angels as a group and saying they are the chosen servants of God. These are choice servants. You know, sometimes when someone gets up to speak, they say, greetings to so-and-so who's important and so-and-so who's really important and other distinguished guests who are gathered here, right? That's what, in this second aspect, how Paul is using the word elect. He's saying the distinguished angelic servants who are present in this audience. He's referring to that. And so we can see how he's distinguishing them as onlookers and how we should make good decisions as he admonishes with the believers there. Okay? So then moving on to another major aspect where the word elect or election is used in the scripture, and that would be Romans 9. Romans 9. We can turn over there. Where here, the term elect is used to refer to the nation of Israel. Now this happens many times throughout the scripture. This is a common usage, far more common than Jesus even being called the elect, far more common than the angels. Many times, again and again, the scripture from Old Testament to New Testament refers to the nation of Israel as chosen by God, elect of God. They are the elect people, the Jewish people, particularly through Abraham, through Isaac, and through Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And God describes in this passage of Romans 9, as in some other places as well, but God describes how he selected these people for his good purposes. He selected the people of Israel, incidentally, well, not incidentally, but he did purposefully select them to be through whom the law of God would come, through whom the promises would come, through whom the Messiah would come, through his lineage. And you know what? He would be, the nation of Israel was selected to be a blessing to the whole world. So when we talk about God's selection of Israel, he distinguished them out that they might be a blessing to all the families of the earth. And I don't have time to dive into the passage because I'm trying to go further here and get into the parable that we read. So let's go to Genesis 12. For time's sake, I'm going to go to Genesis chapter 12. And I want you to see how Abraham was called of God, and this promise was given to him. So we're going to Genesis chapter 12. This is the first book of the Bible. And we'll begin with verse number 2. Genesis 12 and verse number 2. The scripture says, "And I will make of thee a great nation." This is God choosing Abraham and his descendants through Isaac. He says, "I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." So I want you to see that God's choosing of Abraham and his descendants was, yes, that God would bless them, but the particular reason was that through them all of the families of the earth would be blessed. Look at verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee, read it with me, would you, if you have it there? In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And so this wasn't Abraham and his descendants, the nation of Israel, wasn't chosen to the damnation of the rest of the world. Abraham and his descendants were chosen to be used of God to bring in the Messiah, to bring in the law, the prophets. All of this comes through the Jewish lineage, and it comes to be a blessing to the whole world. A blessing to the whole world. All the families of the earth shall be blessed. I am blessed. I'm no Jew. I'm no descendant of Abraham. But I'm blessed through Abraham's seed. That's why I believe it's a good policy. Well, more than good policy, but it is good policy for the United States to be favorable towards Israel. And all of that, that's a very important thing. Why? Because God keeps his promises. He says, those who bless Israel will be blessed. Those who curse Israel will be cursed. These are still relevant even in 2021. But notice how God chose Israel. And again, we could take more time to look at these passages, which, Lord willing, in future lessons we may be able to. But God's choice of Israel wasn't to choose Israel to be saved, because we could go to a lot of scriptures that point out how so much of Israel is not saved. So here they're the chosen people of God, but it's not God choosing them for salvation and others for damnation. It's God choosing Israel for service, choosing that through them the Messiah would come and be a blessing to every other nation. That is a very important distinction. And so, leaving that, we'll have to move on now to the last aspect, which I'd like to note, of how the term elect is used. It is used to refer to those who are in Christ, those who are saved. And so it is certainly valid for me to express, since I have trusted Christ as my Savior, I have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, I am one of the elect. I am one of the select, not because God arbitrarily chose me, but because I responded to his call. Go back to the parable. Come to the wedding! Come to the wedding! Come! Right? Isn't that the parable we just read? Let's go back there now, and we're going to look at that. We have to move along for time's sake. So let's go over there to Matthew chapter 22 again, and that's where we'll be looking here. Matthew 22. There's a few different groups that Jesus has in mind as he tells this parable. The first group is the nation of Israel. I believe that's very clear. And so jumping in again to Matthew 22, let's look at verse 2. The Bible says in verse number 2, it says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. Now the imagery, of course, is of God the Father and his son. And of course, the redeemed of Jesus are referred to as the bride. In this story, it's the guests. Parables don't always walk on all four legs, right? It's not everything has to mean something. But there's a central point that Jesus wanted to make, which is found in verse 14. Many are invited, few are selected. What does that mean? Well, we can see, first of all, in verse 3, the king has sent forth his servants to call them which were bidden. These servants could certainly represent the people God has raised up down through the ages to preach, to teach, the prophets, his servants, all the way down from Moses to Elijah and many others, that God used his servants. And by the grace of God, I'm thankful that you and I can be servants of God to invite others to salvation, right? And so verse 3 says, he sent forth his servants to call them which were invited. That's a fine understanding of that word. Bidden means come, come, come to the wedding. And they were invited. They received invitation. But it says in the last part of verse 3, they would not come. They refused. They refused the invitation. Again, verse 4, these same ones are invited again. He sent forth other servants, telling them which are bidden. Behold, I've prepared my dinner. You can see everything's ready, right? God describes this scenario. I mean, the animals are killed. The food is hot. And there's no guests, or very few. And they're bidden again to come, but they make light of it. They laugh it off. Verse 5, they go their way. Well, I've got work to do, you know, and I've got this I'm gonna work on, and I've got my store to keep. And they make excuses of different varieties, and some even beat and spitefully treat and even kill the messengers of the king who said, come to the wedding, come to the wedding. Can you imagine? But yet that's what the nation of Israel did to God's servants. Some of God's choicest servants, the nation of Israel hated, rejected, treated harshly, and even killed. In Jesus' ministry, there was a choice servant named John. John the Baptist. And he has been beheaded, imprisoned, and then beheaded. Why? Because he committed some crime? No, but because he was a faithful servant of God. Jesus, here in just a short time, weeks, is going to be killed. They rejected. And Jesus in this parable is pointing that out. And so this has to do with the nation of Israel. They were invited. They were bidden again and again. Come, come. In the sense, application-wise, come to Jesus, come to salvation, come to the great marriage of the Lord Jesus and his bride. And they refused to come. And we'll continue now with the next group. We see the invitation going out extended. We see here, beginning with verse number 8, then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready. But they which were invited, they which were bidden, are not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid, invite to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good. Please notice that. Bad and good. This is an illustration of the gospel message. You know, John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, says in some of the first verses there, it says, he came, speaking of Jesus, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The invitation goes out, the invitation to come, come to Jesus. You want to see that invitation? Look at John 12 for an example. John, let's go over there, the Gospel of John. Keep your place in Matthew 22 because we will be back there. But John chapter 12, looking at verse 32 and 33. John chapter 12, notice what the Bible says here. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, Jesus is the one talking here, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw, would you read it with me? Will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The invitation right there. What does he say he will do? Draw all men unto himself. That's the invitation. Do all men come to Jesus? No. No, they sure don't. But you know what? They could if they would. They could if they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever will, the Bible tells us, may come. And so that's the point of Jesus' story here. Many are invited, but few are selected. Now, how are they selected? Are they selected because God sovereignly, arbitrarily just picked some and forced them to come and be a part of the wedding? No. Forced them to be saved? No. The invitation goes out. The king wants them all to come. Come, come. He pleads. He invites. And as the nation of Israel rejected, the gospel went in a greater way to the Gentile world. And Gentiles were responding to the gospel. They were responding to the message of Christ. Many Gentiles, even after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, Gentiles were coming to Jesus all over the world. Coming and becoming a part of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so many are called, but few are selected. How are they selected? They're selected based on their response to the invitation and their dressing in the wedding garment, right? Now, what does that mean? The wedding garment here pictures the righteousness of Jesus. Jesus is the righteous one. When we come and trust Jesus, we can be saved. Let's go to Revelation 19. Look at Revelation chapter 19. Almost the very, very end of the Bible. Revelation 19. We're going to look at two verses. Two verses here, verse 7 and verse 8. The Bible says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." And to her, and of course the wife pictured in these verses here in Revelation 19 is speaking of the church, the bride of Christ, those who are saved. And notice verse 8, "And to her," that's to the bride, it's a group in this case, illustratively, "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white." Here's the wedding garment. "For the fine linen is what? The righteousness of saints." And what is our righteousness? Is it our own? Is it our own works? No. No, it's the righteousness of Christ. When a person, when a sinner comes to Jesus and believes on Jesus to save them from their sin, They are cleansed. Why? Because Jesus paid the price on Calvary. Jesus took our sin upon himself, and we can be saved. We can be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Many are invited, but few are selected. On what basis are they selected? If you will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be part of the elect. Before the foundation of the world, God's plan was, in light of his knowledge that men would sin and turn away from him, his plan was that he would send the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would give his life for the sins of the world, and that whosoever, good and bad, if they would respond to the gospel, if they would come to Jesus, they would be saved. This is the call of the gospel. Romans chapter 1 tells us the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, whosoever believeth. And so we can see the gospel itself is the power of God. He invites sinners to come to him, both good and bad. Friend, it's not, "Oh, I'm not good enough. God can't save me. I've done too many wrong things. I've lied too much. I've sinned too much. You don't know what's in this heart." Oh, there's none too bad that Jesus cannot save. And he says, "Come, come. Come to Jesus. By faith in Jesus alone, we can be saved." Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Please notice verse number 9. Romans 10 and verse number 9, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, the Jew and the Gentile. For the same Lord over all is rich, read it with me, rich unto all that call upon him. Friends, anybody can be saved if they would come to Jesus. It's not about joining a religion. It's not about trying to clean up your life. It's about realizing you're a sinner and that you cannot save yourself and responding to the call of the gospel. Come, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Look at verse 13. Right in front of you there. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Those who respond to the gospel, those who are clothed in the sinless clothes of Christ are saved. If you're in Christ, you're the select. Not because God arbitrarily selected this one and didn't select that one, but because God said, everyone who comes to Jesus, I will save. Everyone who comes. The invitation goes out to all. As Jesus summed up that story, many are called. Many are invited, but few are chosen. The choice is yours. It's like as if there was a flight that was destined to depart for Denver. You know what? If you choose to get on that flight, Denver is your destination. If you choose to come to Jesus with all your sin and you humble yourself before him and trust him to save you, he'll welcome you aboard the salvation flight. That's an illustration, obviously. But you know what? You get on the select flight, it's destined for glory. Destined for glory. Have you responded to the gospel? Thinking back to this parable, are you like some of those who were invited are like, I'm too busy. Some other time. You know, I got my business to run. I bought a farm. You know, I got to go see it. I've got too many friends. I just couldn't do that kind of stuff. Oh, boy, I just can't keep the rules of Christianity. Oh, friend, you misunderstand. You misunderstand the gospel. Come to Jesus. Humble yourself before him. He is saving sinners who respond to him. Many are called. You can know for absolutely sure that God wants you saved. He loves you. It doesn't matter what you've done, good or bad. He loves you. He wants you to come to him. I share with you Matthew 11, verse 28, where Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to Jesus for salvation. Respond to him. A familiar verse I will close with, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, you are invited to come to Jesus. You can respond to his invitation. Maybe today God is helping you to see that you're not his child. Maybe you're not clothed in that righteous, white, clean garment of God's forgiveness, of Jesus' cleansing. You can be saved. You can come to Jesus.